This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
And I've known Peter for 15 or maybe it's even longer, maybe it's 20 years. Peter Miller, are you there?
Hello, David.
Hello. Now, how long ago did I first meet you? Would it have been maybe 20 years ago?
Yes.
Right.
I dread to say it has been that long.
Now you're a musician and a composer. Tell me, where did the interest in music come from? You know, like, as a kid growing up, did you learn musical instruments?
It came from my mum.
Right.
She was a professional singer, and you know, when she was quite young, kind of went the way of many women of that time, I think, where she had a family, and her dreams to go on and, you know, do something big were kind of squashed a little bit by that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, she, you know, we always had an incredibly musical household. So my brother and I kind of were the recipients of lots of kind of impromptu teaching, and we were always surrounded by music, and it was just part of the way things were. We did lots of musicals when we were kids. No, we actually were in them as kids.
Okay.
And Mum was very often, you know, the lead in them. And, it was a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Because quite often what happens is, my parents are into it. I'm not going to do what they do. but that didn't happen in your case, so thank God it didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, we loved it. We loved it. And my brother is, you know, still a musician as well. So, you know, we've done that forever.
So where did the idea and the concepts come from? Now that you're very much a composer.
Look, you know, it's not an easy question to answer. I get ideas all the time. My music has always just been informed by things that happen in my life and things that I'm interested in, and people I work with, and technology, and, you know, all of those things will prompt musical ideas. And I'm, by professional trade, I'm actually a sound designer. So I work as a sound designer for movies. And for me, the kind of musician thing is like a huge boon to that side of stuff. So I kind of integrate that also into my professional life. And I've also written music professionally as well.
Yeah. So when you say sound designer for film, to explaining it to our listeners, so is the background music in film? Is that what you mean?
No, sound designer is actually the person who looks after the entire sound side of a movie. Everything except the music, in
right.
fact.
Okay.
So we get brought on to kind of look after the whole soundtrack, the dialogue, the effects, the foley, and then the mixing of those things. Everything that you hear in a movie that's not music is pretty much under our domain.
Right. And how's it been? You know, like, has it been a good, you know, like, era for you, or, you know, like, has it been tough?
As far as sound design,
yeah,
and professional workers, this last year has been awful.
Yeah.
No one's working in the arts businesses, as you well know. I mean, it's just been a crush. You know, I've had an incredibly good career. My whole career has been just exceptionally good. I can't complain about it. I've done a lot of interesting things over the years. And, you know, just, you know, working everywhere. I've worked in many countries in the world. I've worked on bunches of things in Australia. I've done music for things. I've done sound for things. I've even been an art director. So I've done visual work as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a terrific, absolutely terrific career for me. I can't complain at all.
And then you've taken it to the level of producing your own music, and you've done it in a very interesting way. You know, like, explain to our listeners what are you doing? You know, like, there was one album that I knew you, which would have been probably 20 years ago, and I think it's just been re-released. It's called Houdini, and it was, you know, like, tell people what the concept behind that album was.
Well, I don't sort of tread the boards of any particular style, and it's kind of both the most liberating thing that I do and also the most frustrating thing that I do, because people kind of don't really know what to make of what my music is. So I've done stuff, my first couple of albums were kind of highly experimental, sort of slightly, I guess you'd call them classical-esque things, but with a lot of experiment in those days. You know, this was the kind of rise of sampling technology, and yep. I was very much into musical sort of synthesis. So I was using a lot of that stuff early on, and I was, I loved the fact that you could take real-world sounds and interpret them back into the music and create music out of those sounds. And I continue to do that. I mean, I've done an awful lot of that kind of thing. I wrote a few years back now, I wrote a series, like a 6-CD set, which was music for the First Class Lounge in Qantas First Class Lounge in Sydney.
Wow.
And that was all created from bird and insect sounds, all turned into musical phrase, repetitive musical phrase. But Houdini was kind of like a slight step sideways, because I decided I wanted to do something that was kind of a bit more, I guess you'd say, conventional, though I don't know many people would consider the album very conventional. But it's got songs on it. It's the first time that I'd actually done a group of songs. And it's also got some, fairly highly experimental things on it as well. So it's kind of an unusual mix of things. But it's all loosely based around the concept of illusion, which is why it's called Houdini.
Yeah. And, of course, you famously have used a theremin on it, haven't you?
I've used a theremin on a couple of things, in fact. Yes, I have two theremins.
Explain to people what a theremin is and how we would know it.
So most people will know the sound of a theremin because it's really heavily associated with kind of 1950s science fiction, and it's that kind of spooky, eerie, wailing noise.
Yep.
It's sort of a prototype of electronic musical instruments. It was, in fact, one of the very first electronic musical instruments. And its sound is very unique, but probably the most unique thing about it is the way you play it. You don't touch anything. You actually just move your hands in the air next to these two antennae, and one of them controls the volume and the other one controls the pitch.
Yeah.
It's actually very difficult to play.
I could imagine. And
I confess I'm very much out of practice.
Are you? Right. So you're not going on the road playing the...
I don't think so, not for a little while.
But is the thing from Doctor Who, is that...
That's actually electronic. That was made by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop back in the day. But that's actually a lot of interesting electronic devices as well, but not a theremin. And also, people often think that the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations has a theremin in it, and that sound that's in that track does sound like a theremin, but it's actually not a theremin either.
Oh, okay. Because I honestly thought that was a theremin.
No, it's popularly thought to be. But the really weird thing is that Brian Wilson even thinks it's a theremin. But we know from history that it isn't, because the person who actually performed the part has actually said, no, it's a device that I invented, and it's actually not very much like a theremin, in fact.
Right, okay. Oh, wow, that's really interesting. So,
well, I know a lot about the theremin because I actually almost made a documentary about it. So the research I did on it was like immense, but I was beaten to it by an American chap, so I never quite managed to do it.
I reckon you definitely should go on tour with it.
it would be amusing, if nothing else.
Exactly, because it's a very weird instrument, as you said, because your hands are waving and you're not touching anything, and, this weird sound that you're creating. But it must be, exciting and invigorating coming up with music, though, that is pushing the boundaries a little bit that you do.
Look, I just really am motivated by doing things that interest me, and I very much enjoy making music, and it's one of the great delights of my life. But I don't set about, I have no kind of need. I don't desire fame. So I don't kind of set about trying to be famous or trying to do things that I think people will like. I'm really doing things that, you know, I find interesting, and I hope other people do. I know people do. You know, people often write to me. I had someone write to me today saying they'd found something of mine in some obscure place and that they actually really enjoyed it. So it's a lovely thing to reach out and find an audience like that. But I don't set out to try and make things that are fashionable.
Well, you know, in that fact, it must be very hard sort of getting coverage for your music and letting people hear what you're doing. And we've got a mutual friend that has got a record label that you've now circled back into his world. And and it's a small label but it will at least give you a voice, won't it?
Well, you know, I hope so. And, you know, he's very dedicated to promoting Australian musicians of all kinds, and particularly likes to, you know, find people who are doing things that he considers to be interesting and not mainstream. And I think that's fantastic. And there are a lot of, you know, terrific musicians out there, trying to do things that just fit into a niche is often frustrating for people. And, I hope my music is interesting to people, but I don't expect it to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's not something I set out to prove. I try and do things that I think are enjoyable and interesting and might challenge you a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do find people sometimes, so I'm really happy about that.
Good. And what about recently, or are you in the middle of creating a new sound or album or songs?
I have been working on a few things. I'm always working on stuff, so I've always got things kind of percolating around. I've been doing a series of pieces that really look into the repetition of the spoken word and using that as the basis for musical tracks. So it kind of sounds a bit dry, but it isn't. It's quite interesting, I think. And there is a musical cadence in spoken word, and you can't find it sometimes. And you often find it when you repeat things. So that's been a fascination. That's from my very first album, I had tracks like that all the way through to now, which is nearly 40 years. So that's an idea that I keep working on.
Yeah.
So it's a project. It's a project called The Everlasting Faint. And I've done 5 tracks on that, and I'm still working. You'll probably spend another year or so just getting things together for that one.
Okay.
And I'm doing, I'm doing a lot of just interesting little bits and pieces. I can never tell which ones will go somewhere. And recently I've also been making visual clips for some of my older songs as well, just to kind of give them a bit more life in the internet world, the visual internet world. And apparently having vision with things means that you get something like 90% more people listening to your music. So
I'm sure you would. All right, now set the stage here. We're going to play a track from Houdini, that Illusionist album that you did quite a few years back. This track that we're going to play, I feel, is timeless. When I heard it the other day. What's the track and what's the premise of it?
So you're going to play Float, that right?
That's right.
Okay, so Float is it's actually based on the. One or two of the paintings of Marc Chagall. That's where I got the initial idea from, but it's sort of evolved into something much more complex. And it's we made a clip back in the day, as I'm sure you'll remember, and we set it in a seance. And the idea is that it's a kind of like a transitioning between worlds kind of song, and it's set at the outcome of a dream. So that's the idea behind it, and I had the wonderful Robin Dunn does the vocal on it. She was just magnificent, and it turned into something that was really quite special.
Yeah, well, I when I listened to it the other day again, I thought, wow, Anyala, it's a timeless this track. Peter Miller, thank you for chatting with us today. Looking forward to hearing some of the new stuff you do, and keep going with it. You know, like, Your experimental stuff, it's just wonderful. So thanks, Peter Miller. And here is Float from Houdini. You're on Joy. No.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.